Well, please have your Bibles open at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's all bow together, please, in a word of prayer. Oh God, as we bow before Thee here this evening, Lord, in a world full of people, billions, really more than we can get our head around. So few are in this little building. And I would imagine a small percentage of the whole of humanity has even kept the Sabbath day. But Lord, few in number we may be, we would love it, Lord, if it were true to be said of us that by this generation, the Lord hath turned the world upside down. We pray, Lord, that we will be convicted of truth in our own hearts. Now we will first and foremost live for God and then serve Thee. We pray, Lord, for personal sanctification. We pray, Lord, for personal separation from the world and from all sin. And to that end tonight, we pray that You will bless our consideration, that, Lord, You will lead us into all truth and help us tonight to learn the mind and the will of God concerning our very actions and all that we do. So be with us now, lead and guide, mold Thy people as Thou dost see fit. This evening in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. It's my duty to deal with a group of young people this week. And the subject given to me was living in this world and dealing with sin. Specifically people who would be professing Christians, yet would ask you to go to the pub or the nightclub. How does a Christian properly and accurately address such a situation? And while I was preparing this with young people in mind, it was burning upon my own heart that it'll be profitable for us tonight to do the exact same study, because this is not a situation which is isolated to the young. It's for us all. There will always be situations where we are pressed upon to compromise or stand with Christ and do what the world is doing. So let me give you the scenario then. You're saved. God has done a work in your heart. You love the Lord. And you want to do everything for His glory. That's good. You also want to enjoy your life. And you want to enjoy family, friends, or whatever. That's also good. Family, friends, good health. All of those things are to be seen as gifts from God to you that you might enjoy them. But you don't have to break God's commands to enjoy the life which God has given you. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Breaking God's commands will bring misery to your life. Keeping them is for your good. So, you're saved. You want to enjoy your life. You want to enjoy your friends. And you also want to serve God. I think that is a really good approach to life. Converted. Yet wanting to enjoy the gifts of God and serve your God faithfully. But that becomes difficult when you live in a sinful world, doesn't it? If we lived in some kind of utopia, and that position of being saved, yet enjoying what God has given you and enjoying everything around you, if we lived in a utopia where there is no fall, no sin, that would be no problem. But we do live in a fallen world, and the scripture nowhere requires that God's people should lock themselves away in isolation to everything which is ungodly. You don't find that in the Bible. Rather, the scripture
is given to equip us to live in a sinful world, to develop good and godly governing principles to make the right decisions when we're confronted
with that which is sinful and ungodly. So I emphasize it again. Saved, wanting to enjoy life, yet you also want to serve God. And then perhaps a neighbor, maybe a work colleague, maybe a family member, come to you and they invite you out for some evening, maybe to the pub. I don't think too many here tonight will be invited to a nightclub. I think that's quite unlikely. But you may be invited to a pub or some kind of social gathering of that nature. Now the obvious answer is no. It's the obvious answer. Stay away at all costs is the right approach. But the friend who invites you might well call themselves a Christian. They might say they're a believer in Christ. And they're going with a few friends to the pub for maybe a meal or there's some celebration or whatever the case may be. And they genuinely want you to come with them. They enjoy your fellowship or your family member and they want you to come and enjoy yourself. And they say to you, well listen, I'm a Christian too and you can come on ahead to the pub. I'll be there and you don't have to drink. You can just get juice or something. So how do you say no? How do you say no? Well, you may be old enough and bold enough to simply say no. I am not one bit interested in that kind of lifestyle. I want nothing to do with it and no harm to you, but I'll not be there. Okay, you might have the boldness to do that. And to be honest, that's fine. That's grand. You're making your position clear and you're making it known. That's well and good. I want to flesh that answer out a little bit. Rather than just saying, no, I want nothing to do with it. I want to build that and flesh that out. And I also want to help anyone who may not have the same degree of boldness. Who really genuinely are concerned and careful that they may not offend their friend because they don't want to lose that friend. Because that's a reality as well. So the answer of a bold and blunt, no, absolutely not, I want nothing to do with it, is a right answer, it's fine. Is it the only answer? No. There's other ways to approach it, because that may not be an answer which naturally flows from you. So three things I want to give you tonight to help deal with such a situation. The first thing is this, I want to give you a principle. A principle. Why should you not go to a nightclub or a pub or some kind of social gathering of that nature? When someone asks you, do you want to come to the pub? Your mind, so not your mouth, we'll get to the mouth in a minute or two. Your mind should automatically think, no. I don't want to go because I love the Lord. That's what your mind should automatically say. That's the simple answer. I don't want to go because I love the Lord. And the Lord definitely won't be there. In that sense of blessing and favor and goodness. You see, if you're married to someone, there will be something critically and severely wrong with your marriage if you love to get out at the weekends and flirt around with the opposite sex and be tempted into immorality and everything else. There'd be something critically wrong with your marriage. It's no different when you come to our relationship with Christ. If you say you're saved, you're married to the Lord, in that sense is a union, there's a connection there, yet you like to flirt with sin, you like to get as close as you can to ungodliness, there is something wrong with your soul. Desperately. You see, men and women, Christ's love for you and your love for the Lord should be your number one motive for not sinning. His love for you, your love for him, I recall to mind what Christ has done for my soul, how he died on the cross and he paid for the sins that I have committed. I therefore have no joy in committing more sins. For Christ had to bleed and die for all mine iniquities. If you love the Lord aright, you will not want to offend him. And here's what the Lord says. Don't turn to it. I'll just read it with you. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. If something's evil, even has the slightest hint of wickedness about it, just abstain. Just stay away. If it's a grey area, you keep yourself clean. You see, men and women, God doesn't desire to make us into robots that just do what he says. We're not robots that he has finely tuned and we just click into action when the on button is switched on. No, the Lord is in the business of saving us and taking us out of the fallen world and making us more like Christ. The Lord didn't make us robots. He made us as people who have a free will. And by the choices that we make, we demonstrate our love for Christ. There are things I don't want to do because I love the Lord, and thereby we demonstrate our love for the Lord. That's how you demonstrate your love to your spouse. I'm not going to go out and enter into a relationship with everybody else I see because I love the one whom the Lord has given, dedicated to that individual. And so there's your principle. Very succinctly and briefly, when someone asks you to go out to some social gathering of deep ungodliness, your answer straight away in your mind should be no. I love the Lord. And I'm not going to flirt with sin. So there's your principle. And the second thing is this, and we'll spend most time here, the answer. So have a principle, but what's the actual answer? What are you going to engage your lips and your tongue to say? Well, can I give you a little saying? Good manners doesn't cost anything, but it does pay good dividends. Good manners costs nothing, but it pays good dividends. You see, your answer to a friend who invites you to some den of iniquity should begin mannerly. Should begin mannerly. For example, I really appreciate your invite. Very kind of you to ask me. Nice of you to think on me when you were organizing this. Nothing wrong with being nice. Not at all. The person is probably genuine. They want you to be there because they get on with you. They enjoy your fellowship. And that's a good thing. That's a good testimony even. And it's good to appreciate that. Maybe you can turn with me to the book of Ephesians for a little moment here. Book of Ephesians. And the chapter 4. The verse 15. Here you have this little key to evangelism. 4:15 of Ephesians, but speaking the truth in love. There you have the method, speaking the message, truth, in the manner, love. Speaking the truth in love. And so when someone asks you to do something which is ungodly and vile or of that nature, your answer still should be speaking the truth in love. Appreciate their invite. But no is the answer. No is the answer. It's also obvious, but I think worthwhile stating. If you have friends that are inviting, maybe even enticing you into situations which are compromising and unclean and ungodly, you would be very wise to keep that friend at arm's length. That's a very important rule. If they have no care for your soul, be careful how attached you become. This is true to say, it's much easier. It's a little saying, and there's proof in it. It's much easier for someone to pull you down than it is for someone to pull you. It's easier for someone to pull you down as it is for you to pull someone else up. You understand that? I was standing in the pulpit here, which I have no intention of doing. But if I was, and I was stretching down to pull you up, I would find it more difficult. Because of the laws of gravity. If you pull me down, it's much easier. And that's true in the spiritual sense, because someone who is unconverted, they're dead in their trespasses and sins. Alright? You and I were saved. And we ought therefore to reflect that the Lord has made it clear in His Word that He's pulled us out of the gutters, as it were. Pulled us up out. And He uses this language and set us upon a rock, Christ Jesus. The Lord describes it as been lifted out of the dirt and set upon the rock, Christ Jesus. But here's a problem. We still wrestle with the sinful nature. You see, the person who's down, as it were, in the sin, they're completely dead. There's no good in them, as it were. Us who are saved, well, we are saved. The Lord has worked in our hearts, but we still wrestle with sin. That's why it's much easier to be pulled down. It doesn't mean you'll be unconverted. It doesn't mean you'll lose your salvation. I'm talking here about practical life from day to day. We can drag down into sin. It's easy. For we still live in a fallen flesh. So, someone's enticing and someone's dragging you in to sinful situations, make them a friend at length, at arm's length. Be mannerly. Be a good help. Be a good neighbour. Be a good work colleague, whatever the case may be. But keep clear boundaries. You see, as I said before, this life is not about isolating ourselves from sin. It's not that we should begin to conduct ourselves in such a way, if someone's unconverted, oh, I'm not talking to them. When you see someone unconverted, you'll run the other direction. The Lord does not say that. We are to live in this world, and the Lord specifically says that. I have saved them, and they're in the world, and they're going to stay in the world. They're going to be in the world. And they're going to witness for me in the world, and live for me in the world. That's the idea there. You see, think on our sermon a few weeks ago now, 3 weeks ago, in Leviticus 11. Remember there what the Lord was doing? He was teaching the people discernment. He gave the list of animals that were unclean. The beasts, the insects, the birds, the fish. Everywhere they looked, there was going to be sin. What did the Lord say? Did He say, eat no animals? No. He said, use discernment. Live wisely. Take the principles that I have given you. Listen to the word of God and act them out. Perform them in the world. We don't live in isolation. Not at all. We live as those who are converted to Christ in a manner which is glorifying for the Lord. So then, here's your answer. If someone asks you to the pub or some den of iniquity, it's only a suggestion. I really appreciate you asking me. Thanks for including me. But be a Christian, I just wouldn't feel right doing that. So thank you. I hope you understand. And what I said there is very true. You're thanking the person for their invitation, assuming their motivations is genuine. You're thanking them for their invitation because as a human being, you appreciate fellowship. We appreciate friendship. But as a Christian, you don't want to be involved in sin. And so that answer gets both. I really appreciate you asking. Thanks for including me. But being a Christian, I just wouldn't feel right doing that. So thank you. Hope you understand. And if your friend is any friend at all, they'll respect that answer. If they don't respect that answer, they're not much of a friend. That's for sure. And you probably won't have to worry about them asking you again. Yet, you and I would be naive to think that that would be the problem solved. Because it isn't. Because, you see, the person inviting you obviously sees nothing wrong with going to the pub, if we stick with the pub as the illustration. They obviously see nothing wrong with going to the pub, and they may then question, probably will question, well, why do you think that's wrong? Why are you uncomfortable with that? I'm a Christian. They may suggest. I'm a Christian.
and I'm happy doing it. So there will be this issue where you have to know where you stand. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So you have to be able to answer, why can you not go to the pub? Why? Because here's what's often said, and men have asked me as well, come with us to the pub, you don't have to drink, they sell soft drinks as well. You can come with us and enjoy the fellowship, but you don't have to drink. Now what's wrong with that answer? Or what's wrong with that statement? Well, it's suggesting that the only problem is alcohol. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The whole scene in the pub culture and nightclub culture and social gatherings of that nature is full of iniquity. You see, I'll deal with the most obvious one first. Temptation. Let's just focus on the alcohol bit. There will be plenty of temptation to drink and take other substances. Temptation is unavoidable. That's for sure. And it is inevitable. Long term, that someone who spends their times in pubs will end up drinking alcohol and maybe taking other stuff as well. It is inevitable. I would imagine anyone who frequents pubs and nightclubs will always say that everybody goes to drink and everybody does drink. That's inevitable. So temptation is there, which you will fall to. You will fall to temptation. That's the most obvious one, and therefore no desire to deal with it. It's pretty obvious. The second one is the incompatibility. You see, everyone else is obviously happy drinking and socialising in that fashion, in that way. And so there's an incompatibility. There's a different mindset. There's a difference in your convictions. There's a different worldview than the others who are there. That's just the reality. They simply do not share the love for Christ that you do. They don't love Christ the way you do. That's just the reality. There's the temptation, there's the incompatibility. And there's a wee bracelet that you would get. And I have to say, I'm not easy with the way it's put, but it does drive me message. You'll see it in little Christian shops. WWJD, what would Jesus do? And that's a little saying, and sometimes I think those are quite irreverent. A little issue with them, but nevertheless, it still is a valid question here. If the Lord Jesus Christ was in your situation and he was invited to a pub, do you really think he would go? Could you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ, who is perfect in holiness, entering into that kind of atmosphere? If you think he would, I would question your salvation. And I'll tell you why. If you think the Lord would be happy in such an atmosphere, you obviously are not talking about the same Saviour and the same God that this Bible presents. And so if you do not believe in this God, you are not saved. You have a God of your own making. If you think he's happy in that kind of pub or nightclub atmosphere, I question your salvation. You do not know the God of this Bible. You do not know him. He is holy. He is just. It has nothing to do with wretched and ungodliness. Undoubtedly, somebody will say, but Christ went to parties. Christ went to big social gatherings. That's 100% right. I'll even take you to the verse. Let's go to Mark, please. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 2. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. So here's a social
gathering. Let's go on to, verse 15. Still the same book and chapter, Mark 3, verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. So here you have the Lord sitting down. He's eating and drinking with publicans and sinners. Read verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and with sinners? So here you have the Lord. He's fellowshipping. He is sitting in an atmosphere, in a place, in a location with people who are unconverted. He's eating, he's drinking, he's enjoying their fellowship. It's been said before, the Lord went to parties. And so there's truth in that. I have absolutely no difficulty with that whatsoever. Christ enjoyed socializing with the people of his day. That's all over the scriptures. He went to wedding parties. He went to houses to meet with large gatherings. He attended dinners. But at every location that Christ was found, you will find that he is proclaiming the truth. That he's preaching righteousness. So, okay. He went to locations of social gatherings. But that is not a pub. It is not a nightclub. It is not a social gathering. To say that I'm going to go to the pub, I'm going to go to the nightclub, I'm going to go to some social gathering of that nature, because Christ went to parties, is no comparison. There is no similarity between the pub culture we have today and the kind of atmosphere which Christ would have been in when he was sitting down and eating with publicans and sinners. That's blinding obvious to you and me, who are saved and gone with God to any degree whatsoever. But it's often used as an argument. And how many times, brothers and sisters, has someone said to you at this point, but sure, Jesus Christ went to the wedding and he even made alcohol. I've heard that so many times, I can no longer count how many times I've heard it. Well, let me tell you something. I really don't want to get into that whole subject of wine. We have already. But I can tell you this. When the Bible talks about wine, it is not talking about vodka. That's blending obvious well, for there was nowhere near the same ability to ferment the grape and so on to make it something so potent and so purely alcoholic and so on. And even, and I stress the word even, even on that occasion, if Christ even made the war into wine in the sense of alcohol, which I have no reason where I have to preach that or believe that, it could have been grape juice, the exact same word, the exact same idea, just fruit juice. But even if I gave you the benefit out, and let's say it was alcohol, still it was not the pub culture of today. And it would not give anybody the license to sit down and get full drunk or to regularly consume alcohol on any basis. I don't want to take any further now. I have no need to. That's not my purpose. We're dealing here with entering into a social gathering. At the pub or nightclub and so on. And the social occasions that Christ would have frequented were not dark, drunken dens of iniquity, full of sexual sins and immoralities, flirting, taking God's name in vain, ungodly music and fights. Christ would not have been there. It's a child of God. Neither should you. In fact, whether you're saved or not, you shouldn't be there. People often say they can be great places to witness. You'll get plenty of unconverted there and you'll be able to talk to them about Jesus Christ. If you go into a pub and have a few drinks, and you enter into the entertainment of that night, will you please do me a favor? Shut your mouth. I mean that. Don't you dare tell somebody you're a Christian. You are no fit to make a profession of faith whatsoever. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Don't give offense. Don't run around telling everybody you're a Christian when you're living in deep iniquity and sin. You're giving people an occasion to see offense and to see sin and inconsistencies among the people of God even. Do you remember the disciples, not long after the Lord was working with them and teaching them, there were those 3 odd years the Lord ministered to them by his example. And there was an occasion where the Lord said to his disciples, and he said it to many other men who were first cured of diseases. The Lord said, tell no man that I have cured you. Tell no man that I am the Christ. I wondered why. The Lord is effectively telling them, don't go out and say anybody. Tell anybody that you know I'm the Savior. There's many reasons for that, but one reason I believe is their immaturity. If you do not have a testimony, my friend, you be very careful. When I say not having a testimony, I mean in drinking in the middle of a pub, enjoying all the sins and iniquities of the world, and you just plaster upon yourself a name Christian. If you are saved, and I would have many reasons to doubt, but if you are saved and in that situation, you are desperately sick and desperately away far from the Lord. So poor that you do not have a testimony and shouldn't even therefore tell anybody you're saved. You have no right. You're not going on with God. I think you're being more presumptuous than anything else. So what you're demonstrating, this idea of getting to the pub and there's your place to witness, you have your drinks and whatever and you sit there and socialise with them. What you're doing there is you're demonstrating to everyone there the only difference between someone who is saved and someone who isn't saved is just the fact that the saved person says, I'm a Christian, but there's no lifestyle change. If you can claim to be a Christian and do everything everybody else does, no restrictions as it were, well, you're evidently showing everybody that being a Christian is just taking upon yourself this name of being a Christian. And let me tell you what you're doing. You're presenting a false gospel. You're telling people that you can be a Christian, you can enjoy everything in the world. There's nothing wrong with anything at all. You go and enjoy absolutely everything which your lust and desires would lead you to do. All you have to do is say, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you. Let me use the words of Christ. The words of God himself. Go to the book of Galatians, please. In the chapter 1. So what you're doing is presenting a false gospel. You're saying you can do what you want and be a Christian. Galatians 1, the verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's God's word to you. You will be accursed for preaching any other kind of gospel, even suggesting you can live what way you want. Just take upon yourself the name of Christ. Let's go to Acts now, the book of the Acts, and of the Apostles, the chapter 8, please. Here you have a man of this very nature. Acts chapter 8. And while I'm turning there, remember what I said this morning? That the New Testament deals by and large with the explanation of truth, and the Old Testament is full of the examples of truth. here we have this truth being explained tonight about living in an ungodly world and how we ought to abstain from all sins and iniquities. That's taught in the New Testament. You have the example in the Old Testament, Leviticus 11. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They're the example of the explanation of the New Testament. I only mention that because we said it this morning. Acts chapter 8 and the verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor law in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." And I read you that passage because here's a man who had a misunderstanding of the gospel. He didn't get it. And he had the wrong motives and the wrong lifestyle here. And he's thinking that salvation is something, in his case, can be bought with money. And there are plenty of people who will go into a Christian lifestyle, if you like, to call that a profession of Christianity, and live whatever way they want. And the words of Peter apply just the same. You're perishing. And you will perish. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Your actions demonstrate what's going on in the heart and in the head. So, you see, men and women, salvation comes to lift you out of a fallen world. I emphasize the verse, the Lord says in the Psalms that he lifts us up out of the pit. Set us upon the rock, Christ Jesus. We're to be lifted out of the fall and into relationship with God. Acts 1:1, the Lord, it says of the Lord that he was doing and teaching. Doing and teaching. When the Lord saved the woman caught in the act of adultery, what did he say to her? Go and sin no more. There must be a change. And so you think of the nightclub. The very atmosphere of it. It's dark. So that no one can really see what's going on. You think in the pub. I think it's true to say that all pubs have frosted glass. So that you and I walking by, we can't really see in. But everybody can see out. There's just that nature where men love darkness, being hid. So their acts and their conversations and what they're doing is hidden, not seen. In that atmosphere, then there'll be plenty of dancing. Let me define dancing for you. It's sensual. You want to get as close to sexual activity as possible with someone who is not your husband or wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Drinking, drugs, smoking are all abuses of things that God has made for the good of man. And they're used in an abusive way to try and feed an unfillable habit. Some say you have to become like the world to win the world. Nonsense. Utter nonsense. All the people that you supposedly hope to win by living like them will see a Christian living an ungodly life. And that convinces them of a false gospel, a false Christianity. You see, men and women, light and darkness don't mix. You've either one or the other, light or darkness. And when light comes in, it dispels darkness. Many a man has said, and I've heard it with many even in recent days, they said to me, "I don't need to get saved. Because all the Christians that I know are just like me. They live like me. They do what I do. There's no difference." Even the ungodly sometimes can be more discerning than God's people. They know there should be a difference. We're called to be salt and light on this earth. So, just thirdly and finally here, we got the principle. We have given an answer. What we should say. Now I want, in the third and final place, to get a response. I want you to get a response. 99.9% of Christians who say, I want to go to the pub because I'm going to evangelize there. I don't think I'm wrong in saying this. By far, the vast, vast majority, 99.9% will do that because they want to get as close as they can to the world. If they're willing to go into the pub and start drinking, and that's their regular habit on a Friday night or a Thursday or Saturday or whatever, they're trying to get as close to the world as they can. I remember one time, as a young man, I wasn't going on very well with the Lord. I'll lay that now. It's something I often wrestle with, and I let the Lord down desperately in my teenage years. I remember one time, there was a disco in school, and I kind of wangled my way in. I got in anyway. You know what? It was to be there, if I didn't know, it was gone for like 3 or 4 hours or something. I was bored out of my mind. Bored completely out of my mind. I don't think I stayed any more than 25 minutes. It was a dark, dismal hole. People contorting their bodies in so-called dancing in the shapes that made them look ridiculous and stupid. They'd be far better sitting down, not making a fool of themselves. Taking in and inhaling substance which is nothing but poison for the body. And the relationships that were there were so superficial and so shallow, it was absolutely repulsing. And I left having no desire to ever go to anything like that in my life again. Do you know why? I was not gone with the Lord, but I was saved. And the Lord changed the heart and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I stood in there and seen that. I thought, I'm like a fish out of water. These people actually think they're enjoying themselves. I thought they were rare. Completely rare, I'll be honest. Friends of mine. I've never seen so much foolishness in all my life. A child of God will not want to be in places like that. There may be a temptation. I assure you, once you get in, you'll be glad to get back out. Because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new heart. So what I want you to do right now, we've got the principle, we've given an answer, I want you to get a response. You turn the whole situation around. This person has asked you, I want you to come to the pub. Will you come with us? And you've given them the answer. Thank you, appreciate your invitation. Because I'm a Christian, I don't feel comfortable, I don't feel it's right to go to the likes of that, so why not? I hope you don't mind. And by the way, why are you going? You're a Christian. Why are you going? What's your motivation? What's the attraction? If you're wanting to go somewhere for a night out, that's fine. You can come with me. Some evening, I'd like you to meet some of my friends. We've got a meeting on in church. We'll go to the meeting and you can meet my friends and my people that I know. You can come round to my house afterwards and we'll have some fellowship together. A few of us, perhaps. That's how you turn the whole situation around. And put the ball in their court. Why won't you come to God's house? Why won't you spend some time with the people of God? Why won't you spend some time with me? I'm a believer. And I'm burdened for your soul. So, in this scenario, of someone who is saved. Someone who's saved. God has done a work in your heart. You love the Lord. You want to do everything to His glory. You also want to enjoy life. Friends that God has given you, which you should enjoy. But someone invites you to a pub, nightclub, or social gathering of that nature. What we've discussed tonight is a suggestion on how to respond and how to answer. But perhaps I can conclude by giving you one verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. The reason we read 2 Corinthians chapter 6 there, and my time is gone, I didn't even get a chance to look at it, but the whole purpose of that chapter was to deal with separation from sin, ecclesiastically and personally. It's a very obvious verse, a very obvious chapter dealing with that subject. Read it when you go home. I trust that drives the point home that we've dealt with here.